Well, good morning, church. I'm so grateful to be here, to be able to deliver a message for all three congregations. It's so wonderful to me to see the many groups that come together or that meet through these, we used to call them airwaves, but it's through these live streams, and the many people that meet in different parts of this building to provide music and a message, words of encouragement. God is with us, and He is good all the time, and all the time He is good. This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 136. So if you have a Bible, if you would go ahead and turn to Psalm 136. Now, we're going to have it on the screen in just a moment. And we're going to read it together, as is our tradition, but I'm going to ask us to read it in a responsive reading type method. What does that mean? Well, in Psalm 136, there is a refrain. His love endures forever. And it's spoken at the back end of every single verse. There will be a statement about God, and then this confession that His love endures forever. So what I would like you to do is I would like to read the statements about God or what He's done, and then I would like you to say, His love endures forever from home. So I will read a statement about God, and then I will say with you, His love endures forever. But that's where I want you to come in and read it. You could read all of it if you want to, but I would like to get this back and forth going so that we, even over the internet, even through live streaming, produce the song that is the psalm we know as Psalm 136. So at some point in the reading, I will back away and just let you be the ones to say, His love endures forever. So let's read together Psalm 136. I will read the first statement. You will respond with His love endures forever. Let's read together. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, and brought Israel out from among them, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, to Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, to Him who led His people through the wilderness, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, to His servant Israel. His love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord, and we thank God for his word. Thank you for doing that with me. I hope that you found a joy in being able to see so many ways and so many times that we confess that God's love endures forever. Pray with me one more time, if you would. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is truth. It sanctifies. It teaches us. It corrects us and helps us to grow up in righteousness, that we may be fully equipped for every good work that you have set out for us, to live well, to love well, and to be fully yours. Help us to hear from your word this morning. May your spirit change us and grow us to be more like Christ. And it's in his name that I pray, our soon coming King. Amen. This morning, we will see that our thankfulness completes the circuit of God's love. You know, some years ago, my wife and I, we owned a home in Wake Forest. And I was refinishing the upstairs to make some more living space. And one particular room that I was working on was the upstairs bathroom. And in the bathroom, after I had wired all of the electricity and had that all checked out, I couldn't get the lights to work. I would turn on the switch, no power. I would turn off the switch, no power. I would check the wires, I would check all the connections, and the only conclusion that I could come to is that somewhere in the wall, now that the drywall had been put up, there was a breach in the wiring, which meant I had to pull all the wiring or I would have to pull off parts of the wall. In frustration, I went to a friend of mine and talked to him about it, and he pushed on me really hard and he said, "Rob, you need to check out that switch one more time. It's very likely that your circuit is being broken in that switch. There's something wrong in the switch." Sure enough, I took the switch off and it looked fine, but as I dug deeper, I could see a burnt place in it, and I could tell that something had snapped inside the switch. I replaced the switch and the lights came on. All was well. As we think about God's love for us, we have to understand that God's love always has a purpose, that he is doing things in our lives and in our world. And one of the things that he's drawing us to is praise and thanksgiving. He wants us to see and experience. He wants us to savor and rejoice in his goodness. And so the ending result of the life of a Christian to God's good deeds is to be thankful. I've heard recently that complaining is the opposite of thankfulness, which sounds obvious. But complaining is an evaluation on God's action. If we complain in life, if we grumble in life, we are saying, "God, you are not doing good things," no matter what we're complaining about. Because we know as Christians that God is sovereign. We know that he was always working together, our good, those of us who are called by his name. We know that he is good all the time. We know that he never sleeps. We know that he knows everything, can do anything, and that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So, if there's something that we're complaining about in life, that part of life, he's the king over that too. And I heard recently that complaining and grumbling is the opposite of thankfulness. It denies the power of God's love in our lives. But thankfulness, on the other hand, completes the circuit of God's love in that it fulfills its purpose in our lives. This morning, as we just walk through portions of Psalm 136. There are two principles that I want you to take with you through this psalm and then into your day and your life. In this season where we celebrate Thanksgiving in American culture, it is a good opportunity to stop and remember all of the good things that God has done and is doing and promises that He will do. It's a good time to remember and give thanks. This morning, the two principles that we're going to look at is that God will always love us. When God calls us His own, we are His own forever. When God takes us from being enemies and makes us friends, we are friends forever. When He takes us from being orphans and makes us His children, we are His children forever. God loves us and always will. Secondly, not only will God always love us, but God is always loving us. We don't just have a hope in God's future love for us, that He will in the future love us, but we know that through every moment of life, He is loving us even now. So, let's look back at through some portions of Psalm 136 and see these two principles that God will not only always love us, but He is always loving us, and that our thanksgiving will complete the circuit of God's love. When you look at the psalm, we see that the psalmist is telling us to give thanks to God at the beginning and at the end. But in the middle, the psalmist reminds us of the things that God has done. Well, that's how love works. Love does things. It doesn't just say words, but it helps. Love encourages. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is good. Love wants others to succeed and doesn't celebrate when they fail. Love doesn't hold grudges. Love forgives. Love is an exercise of me building into your life because I want you to be happy and to succeed. Love does things. And the psalmist wants us to remember some of the important things that God has done. This is why the Israelites told stories and remembered. They wanted everyone to keep in mind that God had been faithful in the past to give things to them and to deliver them out of trouble. The scripture also tells us that God never changes. So if God had been faithful in the past and He never changes, He will be faithful now and He will always be faithful to us in the future. God was faithful to give to them and to deliver them out of trouble. God never changes, so He will be faithful to give to us and to deliver us out of trouble. In the psalm, the psalmist mentions God's creation. That when we look at the complex and wonderful world that we live in, it is replete, it is full of reasons to give thanks to God. What is your favorite season of the year? Well, that season is a creation of God. And the fact that we enjoy it is an extension of that gift of God. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father of lights, and He never changes. What is your favorite sound or your favorite smell, your favorite food? Have you been somewhere in the world and the scenery was just breathtaking? Mountain ranges, fields of wheat, waterfalls, wooded areas, maybe a place where you're from, a hometown memory, a simple place, or maybe it's a bustling city. But the psalmist starts out by helping us see that God made the world in wonder and glory, much the way the writer of Hebrews starts out what we know by faith in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And that is an act of God's love, an act of God's goodness. By seeing that, we know that His love endures forever. Well, then the psalmist tells us the story of the Exodus, that God's people had been in slavery, and God's people had been oppressed, and they cried out to God, and God said, I have heard your cry. And he sent Moses to deliver them. And through glorious and amazing acts and miracles, God led the Israelites out, probably 2 million strong, out of the most powerful nation in the world that crumbled under the weight of his judgment and his power. And there are some hard things the psalmist mentions there. The killing of the firstborn, the crushing of the Egyptian army. But we know that according to the Exodus story, that the Israelites walked out supported on dry ground and safe. And he did this because he loved them, just like he loves us and will always love us. And as the psalmist continues on, he tells these stories of the great kings who had risen up, these kings who had followed after the way of Esau, who had turned away from God and lived for himself, who had followed after the way coming from God's original family and forming other nations that would turn against God's people. And God showed himself powerful and provisional time and time again. And then, of course, the psalmist in the end of the song brings us back to those qualities that we see in the model prayer. What does it say in Psalm 136? To the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, who gives food to every creature. Oh, doesn't that just sound like the model prayer where we thank God for our daily bread and ask him to keep us from temptation and deliver us from the evil one? Well, the psalmist has us remember that's what God does for his people. He gives them what they need. He delivers them from their enemies. And so the psalmist ends in much the same way that he begins. And he says that because God has always loved us and will always love us, give thanks to the God of heaven because his love endures forever. So, this is why the Israelites told stories and remembered. God had been faithful. He never changes. He'll be faithful to us. So, what is the result? Therefore, give thanks. You are loved. You are cared for. And you are secure in Christ, in God. What is that great phrase that we use? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And when we confess that in thanksgiving, we know that our thanksgiving completes the circuit of God's love. It has produced in us what it's supposed to. Our being unified to him, our celebrating his love and goodness, and our living with him now and forever. Well, not only has God always loved us, but he is actively always loving us. And this is the other side of the stories of the psalmist that I would like to bring out. God delivered them from Egypt, but ask yourself, how did they get to Egypt? Well, you might remember the story in the book of Exodus of a son named Joseph who had dreams. And one of the dreams was that his family, in the form of stalks of wheat, would bow down to this other stalk of wheat that was to symbolize him. And it was to show this coming change in things. God had set the future in Joseph's mind and dream to show the great glory of what he was going to do with the nation of Israel. For you see, back when God met with Abraham and called him to be the father of many nations, he told Abraham, your descendants will be like the sands of the seashore and the stars of heaven. Well, I have to tell you, according to the scriptures, when the Israelites were numbered before the Exodus, they were numbered as being many like the stars of heaven. God had fulfilled his promise to eat to the Israelites, but not in a way that they saw it coming. God had fulfilled his covenant with Abraham, but not in a way that they saw coming. Because at the end of the day, God had prepared Joseph to end up in Egypt through many great trials and suffering. But his placement there would save and protect the people of Israel for a coming famine. Keep in mind that God is sovereign over that too. So it was God's good intention to place them there. Joseph recognized this in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where he met out for his brothers, "I know that you're afraid of me because what you did to me, you meant for evil, but you have to understand, God meant it for good." How did the Israelites end up in Egypt? By God's will. And then one day would come along a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph and his brothers and enslaved them. So the psalmist is even recognizing that their being there is even an act of God's love, that in some way, even through that oppression, he was preserving them and he was establishing them to make them a single people numbered as many as the stars of heaven. Oftentimes we will look into the past that we faintly remember, or we will look into the future that we create in our own minds, and we will say, yes, but God will love us. But at times, if we're honest, during the difficult times of life, we wonder if God loves us. We ask, how is God loving us, producing this difficult trial or this suffering in my life? Why did I lose that person or that job or that relationship if God loves me? And we begin to think that the difficult things of life are actually something else than God's love. But this is farthest from the truth. Joseph could see that God was loving him and his family and the people of Israel all the while through his sufferings. And I have to tell you, that worldview would help us then understand but even through the years of oppression and the Exodus, God's love never stopped. His love endures forever. He was loving at creation. He was loving at his covenant with Abraham. He was loving through the trials of Joseph. He was loving in the times of oppression. He was loving them in the Exodus, and he was loving them in establishing them into the promised land. Just like he is loving us right now. 2020 has been a difficult year. Right now, we are meeting through a lens and a screen, and we long to be back together. We long to see family. We long to see the rivers of people pouring out into the lobby and the foyer of the church fellowship, eating meals together, meeting together for Bible study and encouragement. We long for that. But, brother and sister of God, please do not think that God has stopped loving us even through a global pandemic, even through political turmoil, even through strife and challenge and difficulty, losing jobs and struggling financially, losing loved ones to health issues. Please do not miss what the psalmist confesses, that even out of and before the deliverance, God's love was enduring then, just like God's love is enduring now. God will always love us, but he is also always loving us. You know, we often thank God for deliverances, but not for the moments before them. Let me say that again. We often thank God for deliverances, but not always for the moments before the deliverances. Remember that God is with us always. He is always good and always working everything together for good in our lives. In every moment, in every circumstance, in every situation. When we look back at the stories that we see in the Psalms of the Exodus and of the kings that fell, what was happening before those stories? It was great challenge and great difficulty, but God's love was the same even in that time. You know, I'm reminded of a story out of a book called The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was, of course, the daughter of a family who, during Nazi Germany, had hid Jews in their home. They had in their home a place that was known as The Hiding Place, which is why it's the name of the book. And because of their care of the Jews, they were then taken into imprisonment in the concentration camps under Nazi Germany. And it was in that imprisonment that we got to know some of her family through her retelling of the story, because, of course, Corrie survived. And one of them was the story of her sister Betsy, who was full of faith and full of grace. In their bunks, they suffered great, great pain. They were freezing cold all the time. They weren't given clothing. They weren't given enough blankets. They weren't given enough food or enough water. Many people in these camps died of exposure, disease. They just wasted away. And in one situation, in their bunks, Corrie came across a challenge that just pushed her over the edge. I'd like to read a portion of the story to you. She cries out, "Fleas! Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? There were fleas everywhere." "Show us. Show us how," Betsy said. Corrie writes, "It was said so matter-of-factly that it took me a second to realize that Betsy was praying when Betsy said, 'Show us how.'" And then, excitedly, the text says, Betsy said, "Corrie, he's given us the answer of how to live with these fleas. In the Bible this morning, that's it, Corrie, that's his answer. Quote, it says, 'Give thanks in all circumstances.'" And then Betsy said, "That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about these new barracks." "Thank you," Betsy went on sincerely. "Thank you for the fleas," she said to God, and trailed off into her prayer. Well, Corrie said, "The fleas, that was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea." Corrie went on in her story to add that, having been reminded that all things did in fact include fleas, she did give thanks for them, and even though that she was sure that this time Betsy had to have been wrong. Well, if you know the story, you know that as it turned out, that in those barracks that Betsy and Corrie were in, they sought to encourage other women who were imprisoned through teachings from the Scripture and the warmth and love that can come from those Scriptures. And whereas the guards would abuse and oppress women in all the other barracks, they would never come into those particular barracks. And nobody understood why until one of the prisoners had overheard the guards saying that they would never go into those barracks because those barracks were infested with fleas. Because of the fleas, God had made a way for the gospel, for encouragement, and for his word to flourish in one of the darkest places, in one of the darkest times in history. Betsy knew to give thanks for all things, because God is always loving us, even sometimes with fleas. Brothers and sisters, our thankfulness completes the circuit of God's love. The psalmist knows to say in every situation, from creation to oppression to deliverance to daily needs, God's love endures forever. He has always and will always loved us, and He is always loving us. So I ask you this morning, do you believe that God is with us? He is. Do you believe that God is good? He is. Do you believe that God is able? Let me testify. He is. He is able. Do you believe that God is working in your life and in my life and in our situation and in our country and in our culture and in the world? Do you believe that God is working? He is. He is with us. He is good. He is able. He is working. Do you believe that God is with us and working all things together for good, for our good? He is. So, let us today give thanks to the Lord, because that love, His love, it endures forever. The challenges of our days and our world will soon pass. It is a phrase that is true and should be hung on the wall, that as we go through this world, we know whatever it is, whether it be a gift or a gulag, whether it be a challenge or a championship, this too shall pass. That phrase is very important. In this world, everything is attached to the phrase, this too shall pass. But not so the love of the Lord, for His love endures forever. I think it would be appropriate to say then, may our praise and our thanksgiving endure forever. For our thanksgiving completes the circuit of God. He has loved us with a great love. We have received it, and we thank Him for it, as it should be, as He has called us to do, as we hear this morning, to give thanks to the God of heaven, for His love endures forever. Pray with me if you would.